Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Before we get started with this episode of the podcast, I am excited to announce that this new episode is going to be presented by Stay Classy Meats. Stay Classy Meats was founded in 2018 out of Bozeman, Montana, and they are a small meat company that provides high-quality proteins from small-batch family ranches and processors in and around the Montana area to consumers all around the United States. They offer top-quality, nutritious, clean proteins sourced from sustainable environments. Gotta love that. They work directly with ranchers that have small herds, and they utilize small processors to keep the quality of the meat high. The animals live happy, no antibiotic, no hormone, happy lives, minimal stress, which you know and I know equals better tasting meat. Animals are finished on-site and transported to the processor, resulting in low food miles, and the nutrient-rich meat provides all of the proper nutrition for your body to function like it should efficiently and optimally. They strive to create a positive social impact in rural communities around Montana to help continue small batch ranching practices. Stay Classy Meats is a direct from the source 24/7, 365 a year online farmers market. Their website is fantastic. It's mouthwatering. You go on there, you cannot believe the cuts of meat that they're offering, and it's fantastic, and they'll ship it right to your house. They have a la carte boxes, and they have boxes that they go ahead and they sort of cater for you. You can check out their subscriptions, and you can, when you subscribe, you can save on your meat, and when you get a box, you can, when you set up the subscription, you can set it up at your desired frequency based upon what your meat consumption is. Me, my family, we are carnivores to the max. We consume a lot of meat and really appreciate the high quality that Stay Classy provides us. It's absolutely fantastic. Guys, they are giving us a huge opportunity here when it comes to saving money. Set up a promo code with them. It's FIST, F-I-S-T, FIST, and that's going to get you 10% off your entire order. Now, if you go on there and you just order one time, you're like, Dale, I just want to order one time, I want to try it, it's going to be 10% off. But if you set up a subscription and you use FIST, it's 10% off your subscription for the length of your subscription. So once you set it up, you never have to put it in again. You're always going to get that 10% off, which is super generous. Stay Classy Meats, fantastic. They sponsor elite level athletes all around the world in a myriad of different sports, everything from track and field to professional fighters. This is the next evolution when it comes to eating clean, eating healthy, and providing the best possible protein for you, your family. Your barbecue season's right around the corner. We got Memorial Day. We got 4th of July. We got just grilling for the sake of grilling coming up. It is that time of the year. People talk about sundress season. It is barbecue season. Let's get after it. Go to StayClassyMeats.com, guys. Use promo code FIST. Check them out on social media. We're going to start posting a lot more stuff on our social media with them. Check them out. And without further ado, we'll get cracking into the episode where we break down UFC Fort Lauderdale. Again, StayClassyMeats.com, promo code FIST for 10% off. Appreciate you guys. Enjoy the show.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, live from Coast of the Carolinas, by way of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. This is the moment sports betting fans around the world have been waiting for. It's time! Introducing the Fistful of Cash Podcast.
What is going on, guys? You are tuned in to the newest edition of the Fistful of Cash Podcast. As always, I am your host, Dale Lippin, and here with the co-hostess, with the mostest. Soup, what is going on, my man?
Nothing much. Just sitting here watching the draft. NFL season is officially upon us for, you know, NFL freaks like me. So the off season's over, the short 2.5 months that it was. But Kyler Murray first overall, Nick Bosa second overall as expected. And the Jets are on the clock. And Schefter just tweeted out the Jets are looking to trade out. So it'll be interesting. Steelers are talking about moving up. I know the Packers were talking about moving up. I'm going to stay up till about 2:30 to see New England pick at 32 just to watch them trade it for six hoagies and a seventh round pick. But yeah, it's draft. You know, I'm excited to see where some of these guys fall, but nothing really, you know, it is what it is. We're back. Took a week off. You were up here. We got to go see a sweep.
Yeah.
Not the sweep we wanted, but we saw a sweep. So there was that.
Not the sweep we wanted, but the sweep we deserved, I guess.
God.
Well, it is what it is, man. We can't do anything about it. But we did have a good time, and we went to the casino afterwards for a little bit, so that was fun too.
Yep.
Got to experience the Rivers. I have not been to the Rivers Casino since it's been established in the Pittsburgh area. I was gone before it went up. So it was my first time there. I was both impressed and underwhelmed all at the same time, if that makes sense.
Well, then again, it was a Tuesday night. So
also true. Well, I mean, I didn't expect to go in there and have it be like casino with De Niro or anything like right. that. But I guess just, it was a Pittsburgh casino. I think if I look at it through the lens of like, this is what a casino in Pittsburgh would look like, I should be extremely impressed by what was there. Yeah. So it was good though. Dude, we had fun, and you know what? We didn't go to, I guess we didn't go to make a bunch of money and do anything other than just what we accomplished, which was drink a couple beers, hang out, laugh, have a good time. You know, met up with new friends and old friends and just had a blast. So it was a good night start to finish. And I will say this, this is my first live hockey event that I've been to. There's not much out there that rivals playoff hockey in an environment like, or maybe a city like Pittsburgh. It might be different in a different city or whatever, but Penn's hockey playoff, man, that was intense. Very, very intense. And, you know, I thought that whenever they scored, you know, what was that, like 2 minutes into the game, man, I thought the roof was literally going to collapse. Absolutely crazy. So I had fun. I had a lot of fun.
Yeah. It would have been a lot better if it was like a, you know, 2-1 series, not 3-0. But yeah, like you said, right. even at a 3-0 facing a sweep with the odds against you, only five teams ever coming back from down 3-0. In an NHL playoff series, the crowd was still there. It was electric. It's a great sports town. There's times where I wish I was a Steelers fan because Pittsburgh fans are great, but I just can't be. There's just no way around it. It just is what it is. But yeah, we got a lot going on this weekend. You got UFC Fort Lauderdale. Second round of NHL playoffs are in effect, which is an absolute mess right now with the teams that are still left. And yeah. NBA playoffs, first round is winding down. Dame Dalla, thank you. You're the man.
Dude. My man.
Most ice cold. Savage, cold-blooded game winner in NBA history.
Yeah. I mean, just
he knew from the second he touched that ball. He was shooting it from 39 feet. Like, right. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it really was. The only thing that even rivals it is like Kobe's top of the key, where he's sort of floating to the side and he crushes it and then turns around and just does the slow fist pump as he walks back to the bench. That's a foul. You talking
Kobe from right to left, top of the key, the bank against the Miami Heat?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because he did the same thing. He just turned around and just was like, it's over with. Like, just, whew. Yeah. You know, not to take anything away from Dame, but that was Mamba mentality reincarnate, just absolutely wild, man. And I said it to you, and you know, those that watched it will pick up on it as well. That subtle first little head fake he does is what makes that play, because it got Paul George off his feet just that fraction of a second earlier that made his wingspan a non-factor for that shot. And I mean, just such a high basketball IQ play, because if you're Paul George, you can't not jump at that fake just in case that is when he's elevating. So you have to make the play, and he just, man, just ice cold, absolutely ice cold. Very, yeah. Ooh, chills just thinking about it.
So from 11 o'clock until 1:30 on Tuesday night was the best 2.5 hours of sports I've ever watched in my life. Between Portland erasing that 17-point deficit to come back and win that game, and then game 7 of the Sharks versus Knights, Vegas going up 3-0, then with, was it 11:20 left, a controversial 5-minute major, definitely shouldn't have been a 5-minute major, but you know, watching it live, I can understand why they called it that. Regardless, the Sharks go on a 5-minute power play and score 4 goals in 4 minutes and 1 seconds. And then Vegas ties it with the goalie pulled with 32 seconds left. And then it goes into OT for the second game in a row. And the Sharks were able to dangle in between all five skaters on the ice for the Knights with a minute left in the first overtime, and hit a nice little backhand. It was just that – it was unbelievable, those 2 hours. I mean, I was flicking back and forth between Portland and San Jose to the point where I got out of bed, went downstairs, turned one on the TV, and pulled the other one up on the laptop, knowing I had to be at work in 4 hours. But I had to watch the end of both of them, and it was right. It was fantastic.
Yeah, it was definitely a good night for sports. All right, so I guess we could start with UFC Fort Lauderdale. And then get into some NBA predictions as we wrap things up. So, fun fact, UFC Fort Lauderdale, first place I ever got a tattoo, man.
First, yeah, you're with the Chinese symbol that nobody really knew the actual meaning of.
Yeah, first tattoo ever, baby. And that dude carved that into me with like a fork and just some ketchup. I mean, golly, you know. Being as heavily tattooed as I am now, realizing what I sat through as a 17-year-old kid there, dude, just the guy just murdered me, man. Just absolutely carved me up. It's still like I'm feeling it right now. It's just straight scar, just absolute scar tissue. So yeah, Fort Lauderdale has a near and dear, little piece of my heart. Also, fun fact. Our guardian, took me and a buddy of ours, and just walked in. Like we just walked into a strip club and just act like we were supposed to be there in the middle of the day. Like, so the middle of the day, he thinks it's a good idea to take us into a strip club and then just act like we belong. We sat down at the, around the stage, and we were there for all of about 38 seconds. And this dude comes up and puts his hands on both of our shoulders and is like, let's see some IDs there, boys. And kicks us out. But to hear him say, he's like, oh, dude, it's Tuesday, dude. They're not gonna ask for IDs on a Tuesday at lunch. And sure enough, that was the very first thing they did. So, you know, Fort Lauderdale. It's just the city come true. Strip club lunch buffets and really bad tattoos. So I've had nothing but good experiences there, and I'm expecting another good experience coming out of UFC Fort Lauderdale. Main event for this is Ronaldo Jacare Souza coming in against Jack the Joker Hermanson. But let's start with the bottom of the main card and work our way up. Kicking things off, Thomas Gifford versus Roosevelt Roberts. And hey, dude, guess what? You're never going to believe this. I don't know anything about either one of these guys. Roosevelt Roberts coming in at a minus 400 to Thomas Gifford at plus 300. And I'm going to say the odds makers got this one right because I don't know anything about these dudes. Roberts is 7-0. Gifford's coming back at 17-7. He's obviously got a little bit of a experience differential there. However, with this much stuff, man, I just can't even. I have nothing. Looking up Roosevelt Roberts, he fought in Bellator, but I don't remember the fight. So I got nothing, man. I got nothing for this fight other than say odds makers probably got it right. Unless you got some sort of inside.
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay. All right. So anticlimactic as that is, the rest of the card I got plenty to say about. Next fight, John Lineker versus Corey Sandhagen. Man, is this going to be a banger of a fight. Sandhagen coming in at 10-1, Lineker at 31-8. And then the odds coming in that Lineker is a minus 150 favorite, Sandhagen plus 120. You got anything to say about these?
I like Corey Sandhagen. It depends. If this turns out to just stand there and throw hands, obviously Lineker is going to win this fight. But I think Sandhagen will be able to use his reach and his wrestling ability to win this fight.
I hope he does. He has had this very weird penchant since he got to the UFC about like wanting to just stand and bang with people. And John Lineker is a guy that he cannot stand and bang with because Lineker has turned the lights out power. But I think that there's excellent value here at Sandhagen at plus 120, because I think that he can put a pace on Lineker that Lineker can't keep up with as long as he doesn't get touched while he's doing it. However, you know, if you go back and you look at Sandhagen's fight against Yuri Alcantara, you know, he was in all kinds of trouble there for a long time and then was able to flip the script on him and get that win, in the second round. But I think that if Lineker can touch him the way he's hit people in the past, Sandhagen's going night-night. I think that's not to take anything away from Sandhagen. I just think that nobody at that size, you know, fighting at 145 pounds or 135 pounds even, is going to take Lineker's power. I just don't see how they do it. He has one punch, turn the lights out power. But I like Sandhagen at plus 120 here as well. I think that's good value on him. So, plus I think, you know, you're going to see a marked difference in experience with Lineker, you know, having what's going to be his 40th pro fight, where Sandhagen's sitting at 11. And Lineker's got much deeper, higher level competition. So I will say this, the only caveat to that point that I just made is Lineker lost a very, very, very unanimous decision to TJ Dillashaw, where he got beat very badly. And Sandhagen does a lot of like what Dominic Cruz and TJ Dillashaw do with like their funky foot movement and, you know, fake with the jab, come with the high kick kind of stuff. There is a possibility once the time comes and the odds come out, I'd be anxious to see what the over under on rounds is for this. And then maybe what Sandhagen inside the distance looks like, because I think that he might be able to get Lineker out of there. So just something to keep an eye on as the lines come out. But unless you have anything else with that, the next fight, light heavyweight action, Ion Cutelaba versus Glover Teixeira. Dude, what a banger of a fight this is.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the odds to come out on the rounds. I'm assuming it's probably going to be 1.5. Yep. But if it's at 2.5, you have to go under 2.5 in this.
Yes.
Without question.
Yeah. And, you know, right now they have it almost at a variable pick 'em. Cutelaba's at minus 110 and Teixeira's coming in at minus 120. I want to caution people with going with Teixeira on this, because Teixeira did not look good against Carl Roberson initially, and then Roberson showed, you know, his ultimate weakness there. But Cutelaba is not going to make that same mistake. That this dude is probably the most intense guy in the UFC. I don't know if there's anybody that's more intense than he is. I don't anticipate this fight making it out of the first round. It's either going to be Teixeira inside the distance or Kutalaba inside the distance. I'm leaning towards Kutalaba just based off of power and, you know, just based. He is just a wrecking ball, man. He really is. Kutalaba's record sitting at 14-3, Teixeira at 28-7. I think Teixeira's chin's going, and I think if Kutalaba can put hands on him, it doesn't even have to be flush. He's going to get him out of there in a hurry. But over-under on rounds is probably going to be at 1.5. I think you nailed that dead on. And under is going to be the safe play, but I like Kutalaba at minus 110. What are you thinking as far as just winner goes?
No, I'm with you with Kutalaba. I think that's a good play.
Any dude that paints his body, his entire body green for the weigh-in is a little bit off.
Yeah, yeah, he's not right. He's not all there.
He's not playing with a full deck. All right. Oh, dude, your favorite fighter ever.
Platinum Mike Perry for the dub as a dog. Let's get it.
Mike Perry taking on Alex Oliveira. Oliveira sitting at 26-1. Mike Perry, 12-4, said he just signed a nice new deal, getting paid a lot more money. Very happy with the UFC. Sitting there, like you said, as a dog, coming in at plus 150. Alex Oliveira coming back minus 185. So you think Platinum Mike Perry's getting it done?
I don't know. I'll tell you, if it's even a third round, I don't think Platinum Mike Perry is going to win this fight. I think that it's going to be an absolute brawl, and I think Perry's going to have to put him to sleep.
I definitely think that the recipe on how to beat Mike Perry's out there, and that you got to wrestle him, and then you got to take him down, and then once he's on the ground, he's super easy to submit. So I think even like the rudimentary jiu-jitsu skills of Alex Oliveira will be enough to best Mike Perry. Now, what concerns me with a play on Oliveira here is his penchant for wanting to make fan-friendly fights. And if he goes out there and tries to put on a fan-friendly fight with Mike Perry, he will lose. And he will lose in glorious, bloody fashion. You know what? I like Mike Perry as a dog here. I think I'm going to take him. I really do. I think Alex Oliveira will not be able to resist going out there and trying to trade hands with Mike Perry, at least initially. And if Mike Perry can stuff, like, say, the first takedown, Alex Oliveira will say, all right, we'll just throw hands here. We'll just throw it. Because if you look at it like this, if you're looking at Alex Oliveira's last four fights, he's 1-2, lost two, but he lost to Yancy Medeiros via TKO. Then he beat Carlos Condit. Then he beat Carlo Pedersoli. And then he lost to Gunnar Nelson. So what he doesn't, it's not like he's on the verge of getting cut. I mean, he's a fan favorite. He goes out there, he puts on a show every single time. And I think that he's got everything to gain here in this fight by going out and putting on a fan friendly affair with Mike Perry. And in doing so, I think he's going to get himself slept. I'm going with Mike Perry here, man. I like him as a dog. I really do.
Not to interrupt the UFC that we're covering, but the Raiders promised a surprise pick at 4, and damn it, the John Gruden, he delivered, man.
Oh no.
Don't get me wrong. Clelin Ferrell from Clemson is a damn good defensive end.
Dude, are you serious?
You go there over Josh Allen and over Ed Oliver. John Gruden's wild, man. What a maniac. Dude. Oh my God. That's back to UFC Fort Lauderdale. Just John Gruden doing John Gruden things. Clelin Ferrell going number 4 overall.
Oh God! And now everybody underneath Oakland is scrambling because they didn't realize who was going to be available because of that wildness. Oh my gosh!
Tampa Bay's, they're confused out of their mind. They're like, okay, we thought we were taking Josh Allen here, but now do we go with Ed Oliver? Like, right. Why is Ed Oliver here at 5? God, he's unbelievable.
But here's the thing, though: you shoot your shot, and if you hit, dude, you look like a genius. Mm-hmm. And then if you don't, I mean, he's okay with playing. He's okay with being labeled a crazy person or an idiot. He's okay with that. He's comfortable with it. So if you're like that and you don't care, I mean, shoot your shot, dude. Shoot your shot. I guess. Wow, that's not that. Yeah, you're right. He promised wild, and that is exactly it, or surprise rather. All right. We're going to breeze through this quickly because I hate giving this guy any sort of airtime anywhere. Co-main event, even though it does not deserve to be there. I still don't understand. Dude, their inability to address the fact of why this dude's getting a push is remarkable to me. But co-main event slot here, Greg Hardy versus Dmitry Smolikov. And they gave Greg Hardy a much more winnable fight here. Smolikov's coming off two losses in a row, got knocked out by Cyril Asker, who is not known as a puncher. This dude is not, in my opinion, is not a UFC level talent. And he's taking on another guy that has no business being in the UFC, Greg Hardy. If you care at all, you know, what's your prediction for this fight? Greg Hardy, I'm sorry, he's coming in -335. Smolikov's coming in at +255.
I'm taking Smolikov just because I refuse to root for Greg Hardy. It's 100%. I mean, and Smolikov is a master of sport in freestyle wrestling. Cool. If you can get him down to the ground and you can lay on him for three rounds, I'm cool with that. Just, yeah, I'm more than likely we're going to see a Greg Hardy knockout in the first round, but I'm going Smolikov. I'm not rooting for him. And
yeah,
remind me, we're going to talk about Tyreek Hill as well at the end of this show. Speaking of woman beaters and piece of shit, he need taken out and shot with the dog. Smolikov.
Yeah. So I, if you're asking for a pick as far as like, who do I actually think is going to win the fight? It's probably going to be Greg Hardy, just because Smolikov's going to be there to get hit, but I will never actually bet money on Greg Hardy to win a fight. So therefore I might throw like a little wild parlay together and throw Smolikov, Perry and like Sandhagen or something like that together just to see what it lands at. But my recommendation is avoid this fight unless you feel like being wild with a half unit play or a unit play on Smolikov. But I would just avoid it. But anyway, main event, Jacare Souza, Jack Hermanson stepping in last minute here, was supposed to be Yoel Romero. So Jacare 26-6, Hermanson's on quite a tear, 19-4. Going to be a doozy of a fight, man. Super excited. Jacare -225, which I think he's overpriced at, and Hermanson coming back at +175. What do you think here?
I want to take Jacare, but I don't want to take him at a -220. Probably Jacare inside the distance or Jacare by TKO. I mean, that's the most likely outcome here, right? I mean, Jacare by knockout in the second round, maybe something crazy like that. That's probably where I'd go with it.
My thing with Jacare is while he is on a streak, he has not looked good in his fights. Before catching Chris Weidman last fight, he was getting beat up bad. He's getting beat up bad. Lost that split decision to Kelvin Gastelum. And before that, he beat Derek Brunson by head kick knockout, and that is what it is. But you know, he got pieced up by Robert Whittaker. I don't know. He just has not looked like the Jacare of old. He's 39 years old, and I've said it time and time again. I really believe that high level elite wrestling negates jiu-jitsu, and if it comes to the ability to get the fight to the ground and establish position, I think Hermanson's the dude to do it, man. And at +175, it's hard for me to say no there. I really like the way that value's coming in at. I'd be anxious to see what the rounds are at. I'd say 3.5 in, I say if it's 3.5, I'd play the under. If you think Hermanson's going to win. If it's 3.5 and you think Jacare is going to win, I'd play the over where I'd go with that. But should be a good fight. As far as just picking a winner, I'm going with the underdog again, man. I like Hermanson. I like him. He's on a tear. He's young. He's hungry. And Jacare hasn't looked good. I know. It's crazy to bet against Jacare, but he did not look good against Chris Weidman. He did not look good until that. Until the end of round three, you know, he just didn't look good. But here's the thing, though, is Jacare and Mike Perry are fighting out of the same gym. So maybe it's one of those things where you make your play, and then if Mike Perry gets beat, you hedge with Jacare. I don't know. But we've seen this sort of cascade effect lately, most recently with the last Australia card where every one of the Australian dudes lost. Mark Hunt, Ty Tuivasa, Tyson Pedro, and Jake Matthews all getting beat. It's brutal, brutal. And then with the Russia card, even, you know, it was just wild, man. But yeah, so I think maybe that there's a little bit of a hedge opportunity there, but three and a half. If you think Hermanson's going to win, go below. If you think Jacare is going to win, go over. I like it ending inside the distance, though, no matter who you're going with whenever that comes out. But I'll be personally playing Hermanson on that one. Worth mentioning, your boy, another dude that kind of looks like you a little bit, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, okay.
You guys are similar, dude. You got a little bit of something. You know, the serial killer himself, the Canadian psycho, Rory McDonald, taking on known cheater and steroid abuser John Fitch. Rory McDonald coming at -400, John Fitch +300. Do you see any value anywhere in that fight whatsoever?
Is it 0% chance Rory McDonald's going to wipe the fucking mat with him?
Okay. All right. Yeah.
Here's one for you. So okay. Going back on this main card, we went five dogs.
Did we really?
Sandhagen, Kudalaba, Perry, not Greg Hardy, and Hermanson. The last time that we went all five dogs, and I remember this because I played every single one of them, UFC 226, Cormier versus Stipe, and all five dogs won on the main card because Cormier beat Stipe, Derek Lewis beat Ngannou, Mike Perry beat Paul Felder, Anthony Pettis beat Michael Chiesa, and Khalil Roundtree beat Gokhan Saki. That was the last time we went all five dogs, and all five dogs hit.
Let's get fucking going. Let's go two in a row, dude.
Where's that?
Let's get going.
Trends.
I like that you're a stat machine like that because I didn't know that. I watched so many fights and picked so many of them, dude. I can't even keep track of that stuff. But yeah, all right, cool. Hey, man, that's great. Hopefully we go. Listen, you say that, but now this might be the time where like just fade us and we go 0-5. You never know. No, I like trends. Trends are trends. 5-0. We're gonna go 10-0 when we do all dogs. I like it. And Rory McDonald is gonna murder John Fitch. Yeah. All right. So that's it as far as UFC goes. There will be a full card breakdown on Instagram, like always. So be sure to check that out. Obviously, we're in a big bounce back spot, as I like to say. And we've got some, you know, the NBA landscape has changed dramatically since the last time we had a show, Soup. So what are you seeing? What's trending? What's going on right now as far as the NBA is going? What can we look for? And, you know, what should we have our eye on moving forward?
So I like, obviously, the only two matchups that are set right now are the Bucks Celtics, which I think is going to be a really fun series to watch. I'm not that confident in the Celtics winning that series. Like I said, I'm taking the Bucks out of the East and I'm sticking with that. Damn it. So the Giants just took Daniel Jones. Oh my God. I was hoping New England would trade up and take him, but Giants took Daniel Jones at 6. So Ed Oliver is still out there at 7 for the Jaguars. Back to the NBA. Sixers Raptors. I like the Sixers to win the series at a +210. I'm a big Joel Embiid guy. I think we talked about this the other day in comparison to like another sport. He's like an Evgeny Malkin, one of the most talented players, but doesn't really look like he's trying all the time. But, I think against the Raptors, I think you're going to see a different Embiid. Cause I really think that they're going to channel in. Jimmy Butler is going to be all, you know, back from his little scuffle suspension with Jared Dudley. So I like the Sixers at +210 in that series. I don't believe in Toronto just as a city or a basketball team. And I don't believe in Kyle. What do they do? Nothing. They get to the playoffs, best record in the NBA, you know, best record in the East, whatever they do year in and year out, and they choke. I get it's against LeBron always, but the East is deep this year. It's a very, and they struggled with the Magic a couple games, like really struggled. So that's concerning to me. Kyle Lowry sucks.
easy.
Yeah. Sixers +210. Right now I've got money on Denver. They're playing the Spurs. They're up 3, but I'm waiting for the West, matchups to be set. We'll make some more plays. But the East is set. West is not. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of good value in the NHL. If I just pick a team, they might win the cup.
Right.
Who knows? I mean, Boston has to be the favorite coming out of the East right now. And out of the West, San Jose, I guess, or St. Louis. I don't know. It's the NHL is so wacky.
Right.
It's so wacky right now. But yeah, I mean, that's just, I love playoffs, man. It's so unpredictable. It's not as unpredictable as this NFL draft, because like the Buccaneers, they didn't take Ed Oliver or Josh Allen. They took Devin White, the linebacker from LSU. So maybe the Pats will get Ed Oliver at 32.
Maybe. I mean, he really could drop down. I mean, people must really be questioning his character and with the culture. Good segue into what you want to talk about with Tyreek Hill. But, you know, with the culture shifting a lot towards, behavior both on and off the field and just dynamics as a person, you can see a guy like Ed Oliver slip a little bit. So what did you have to add with the Tyreek Hill thing?
Dude, what a scumbag. So the audio came out, and first of all, he's beating a 3-year-old with a belt.
I haven't heard any of this. So you're breaking news to me right now. Go ahead.
Yeah, here you go. So Tyreek Hill's beating a 3-year-old with a belt. Mm-hmm. And then looks at, I think it's his girlfriend, baby mama. I don't know what her title is, but looks at her. She's recording him without him knowing, you know, it's audio recording. And he looks at her and says, "You better be afraid of me too, bitch." Like, he's already gotten in trouble for choking his pregnant girlfriend.
Right.
Then he's beating a 3-year-old with a leather belt. And then he threatens another woman. Like, he's got to be done. Like, the Chiefs, you know, you dumped Kareem Hunt instantly, which, good on the Chiefs. I was like, honestly impressed when they did that.
Yes.
And then leave it to Cleveland to pick him up before he officially got suspended. So it was like, oh, we got him before he got suspended, whatever.
That's a very Tyreek-like thing to do, by the way.
Yeah, Tyreek Hill's got to be done in Kansas City, man. There's no way you can keep that around. I don't care how fast he is.
Right.
I don't care if he's a cheetah with cleats on. He's a scumbag.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. Yeah. I can't. Like I said, you're breaking news to me. I mean, I knew about the allegations. I knew about the, you know, but I didn't know that the audio came out. So yeah, that's, it's a garbage human right there, man. It's a garbage human. That's absolutely wild. To end the show on a more positive note, instead of wrapping it up with that, they just announced, Sean O'Malley making his comeback. UFC 239 against Chito Vera. Dude, I'm going to run down UFC 239 real quick. I don't want to jinx it by doing this, but this might be the most stacked card I've ever seen assembled. And that's saying a lot. I mean, because we watched UFC 100 together. So I worry whenever they start stacking stuff up like this. And I think they do it maybe almost anticipating injuries, if that makes sense. That they know that if they stack it up like this and somebody gets hurt, they still have the option to, you know, move stuff around. Speaking of which, you know, UFC 239 takes place on July 6th.
I'll be there.
But you'll
not
be here
at the fight.
That's right. I'll be That's right. Mouth. All right, yeah. Cool. All right. So John Jones taking on Thiago Santos, main event, co-main, Amanda Nunes, Holly Holm, then Ben Askren versus Jorge Masvidal, Junior Dos Santos versus Francis Ngannou, Jan Blachowicz versus Luke Rockhold, Michael Chiesa versus Diego Sanchez, Jack Marshman versus Edmund Shabazian, and then just announced Sean O'Malley versus Chito Vera. Dude, what a stacked card. Oh my gosh. I don't even know what to do with myself with this. So good. So good. Yeah, I got nothing, man. Oh, is that good? I love it. If you haven't gotten a chance, guys, listen to Jorge Masvidal's interview with Joe Rogan on Joe Rogan's MMA hour podcast or whatever. Very insightful. Did not realize that Masvidal. It's a good insight on how the dude carries himself and stuff like that. And he definitely one of those dudes that thinks he's the smartest guy in every room he goes into. You sort of get that feeling from him. But it was a good interview. Good interview all around. But that's all I got, man. That's all I got.
Yeah, I nothing else. I'm excited to see drawing a blank. NBA playoffs of the West, man. Obviously, I don't care who, like, with the Houston's going to beat the Jazz, and I do think Denver wins this series against the Spurs. They're down 3 at half in game 6 right now. If it goes game 7, it'll go back to Denver. I think Denver wins that. So you're going to look at Golden State, Houston, Denver, and Portland. and I think, would it be Portland, Houston? Because if it's Portland, Houston, I think that's going to be a hell of a series. Or it'll be Portland, Denver. One of the two. It doesn't matter. I just, the way Dame's playing right now and the way CJ's playing and Enes Kanter, like Kanter stepped in for Nurkic and he's playing out of his mind. But if Dame and CJ can play, can both have good games, they are such a tough team to beat because that is such a deadly guard combination to have clicking at the same time. And normally it's like, okay, Dame's got 15 and CJ's got 30, or Dame's got 50 and CJ's got 8. But right now it's like, okay, Dame's got 35 and CJ's got 25. It's just it's a really scary combination. Sure. So it'll be interesting. I'm excited to see what happens.
Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot. All right. That's all I got, guys. Follow us on social media if you don't already do so. Fistful of Cash Podcast on Instagram. If you want to shoot us an email, got any questions about betting at all, Fistful of Cash Pod, P-O-D, at gmail.com. Don't be afraid to take advantage of any and all of our sponsors. And that's all I got, man. Talk to you guys on social media, and I will see everybody next week, man. Good luck this weekend.
As always, guys, clear eyes, full fist, can't lose.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.